Hey, 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 everyone. I've got a very, very special guest joining us today. I'm really looking forward for you guys to meeting her. I'll do proper introduction shortly. I'll just wait till everyone arrives. TikTok's inviting people. Hey, everyone. Welcome in. Welcome into the live. I've got a special guest today. So I'll introduce her properly once she actually arrives. Hey everyone, welcome in. Delightful to see you all. I'm really looking forward for our conversation today. If you guys have seen my videos about the cosmology of the earth and even Norse mythology, it's really interesting. Norse cosmology, the giant tree of life, and all of the different planes that exist on the tree of life. There's loads and loads that we're going to be talking about today, because my special guest that I'm going to have on, she's called Rising Phoenix Aurora, and I'm just waiting for her to join. So while she does, we'll just have a quick chat and feel free to ask any questions. Can I just check, can you actually comment? Do the comments work all right? If you can, let me know, comment where you're tuning in from today so that I know who's here and where you are tuning in from. It's nice to, oh yes, find yourself said yes, perfect. Let me know where across the world you are from. Exciting. Just gonna check as well, I've got my laptop down by my side because I'm going to do an opening prayer for us. One sec. I'm not going to do the prayer just yet. I'm going to wait till we've got more people. I'm just going to also make sure that we're good. No technical issues or anything. And then off we go. Find yourself. Bulgaria. Amazing. Yeah, let me know, guys, where you are tuning in from. Arizona. Romania. Hey, Lee. And our special guest has arrived. I'm going to invite you on in a sec, Aurora. So, as I was saying, guys, you guys all know, if you have seen my videos, if you follow me, maybe you're new, if you are, then welcome. And if you have seen my videos, one of my main pinned posts is questioning the Earth globe model. And questioning, like, I think the question was something like, if it is gravity that's holding everyone down on the earth, then why, if gravity is like literally holding everyone down on the earth and the earth's spinning really fast and the only thing that's keeping everything stuck on this ball is gravity, then why is it that a little butterfly can defy gravity and just flutter around in the air, or your skirt can get blown up in the wind, but gravity is not strong enough to hold that down, but it holds everything else down to this spinning globe. And what's interesting is, if you look at like a wet tennis ball, if you throw a wet tennis ball, the water flicks off it. So this is interesting when you really consider where we possibly are in the cosmos and the way that the earth has been built and designed. So I'm going to actually invite our special guest on today. I'm just going to press invite now, and hopefully you should be, Aurora, be able to just join us. We should be side by side, and if not, then we can make that work if it doesn't work that way. Hi everyone. As we chat, yes, as we chat with Aurora, guys, if I'll be reading your comments and we will be trying to answer questions as well. If anyone joins and I don't manage to say hi, I'll hopefully give you a wave, but I see all your comments, I read them all, so please share your thoughts as well, because it's really interesting to read you guys. Comments, yes. Hey, let me just see if I can hear you all right, because I can't at the minute. Speak again. I can't. Can you guys hear her? Hey, lady, go diver or god of her. I think I can hear you now. Try again. No. Are you on Zoom at the same time with your phone or anything?
No.
Oh, wait. Yes, better. Can you guys hear her okay?
It's very low.
That's a lot better.
Yeah, I'm on my phone, so I'm not sure how the audio's going to pick up. Yes. I could grab a mic. Hold on. Let me grab a mic.
Perfect.
Let's see if the mic helps to the phone. Hold on.
So, we're so excited to do this today, guys. I'm going to do like a proper introduction shortly, but I've been really following Aurora's work and supporting Aurora for like 6-7 years. Really, it was the start of my awakening that I found her. And I'll just give like a brief intro, and then I did actually want to do an opening prayer as well, to bless the energy so that we've got good energy to open the session and make sure that we've got good people joining us as well. But really, just to start, like, I think I was like searching on YouTube for things like what happens when you die, like life in between lives. When I first started waking up, I was really into like quantum physics and just like out of body experiences, and really just like the fact that we aren't just this physical vessel, there's so much more to it. And I must have come across one of Aurora's videos on YouTube, because she's got like 900 or more videos on YouTube. A lot of them she's channeled really great information, and we'll get to that in a bit. And there's a lot where it's she's recorded past life regressions that she's literally done with people, because she has her own certifications about past life hypnosis. But what I found so interesting was I was watching this video, and this woman was under hypnosis, and she was talking about her past life, and Roy was asking, what do your feet look like, what do you look like, and just really describing, she was like in a forest with a staff and a crystal or something. And then Aurora was like, everything has consciousness. Can we speak to the crystal, please? And I was like, what? I was so like mind blown. So I was like, no way. And then this crystal started speaking through the woman. And the crystal was saying that it missed its home, and that it, like, because all the crystals come from the earth, this crystal was saying it's really served its purpose with this woman, and it would love to go back and be returned back to its home with its like family. And I was thinking, crystals have family, and crystals, like, their home is the earth. Like, it was so mind opening. And I've always got like over 900 videos with all this kind of stuff in, so it was just so interesting to learn it all. And and I just really wanted to share with you guys the wisdom that's been coming through the past few years, because I've just literally come across her new book that she's just got out, and I'll show you guys. I've just done a video about it. It's called Lost Cities of Tartaria, Beyond the Ice Walls of Antarctica. And really, for the past few years, she's been channeling information that she's been literally seeing beyond the ice walls. And this is going to be really interesting. So, Aurora, thank you so much for coming on and for sharing your energy with this space and with the people of TikTok. So, do you want to do like a little intro about like everything, your little intro, so that everyone can know who you are and things like that?
Yes. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, loads better.
Much better? Okay. All right. Awesome. Thank you. It's such an honor to be here with you. I am Rising Phoenix Aurora. Thank you for the beautiful intro, Aura. I sent you a Zoom. I don't know if you could join it so I can record us.
All right.
If not, I don't know if you can, but that way I can record your face. All right. Awesome. Thank you. And I am known as a galactic historian, spiritual revolutionist, an oracle, and an author. I'm also the founder to Rising Phoenix Mystery School. So it is truly the most incredible honor for me to be here with you, as Aura showed you. I actually have 3 books, but this is the third one that has published now, which is The Lost Cities of Tartaria. You guys might have watched me, because according to Google search, about 2 months into my TikTok channel, we had like 38 million views by that point. But then they figured me out, and then they shadow banned me, so I am lucky if I get 200 views nowadays. But yeah, instantly, overnight, we would have almost even close to 200,000, 100,000 overnight in our videos, because that's just how incredible it was. So I'm honored to be here with you. Thank you, Aura. You're so beautiful. As you all know, my viewers who are here, I don't do too many things with other people. So I'm just, you know, I'm also very selective, because I am my own founder. I am self-founded. That's how I keep myself sovereignly free. And so it's a joy and a blessing to an honor to be here with Aura. Thank you.
Yes. And Bianca already. Bianca's got an awesome TikTok as well. She shares frequency tones for healing different illnesses and diseases. So she's said, I'll buy and share that book now. Thank you. So we've already got people asking questions as well. But what I really wanted to start with first thing is because channeling has a bit of like a bad rep sometimes, where people go, you know, you don't know who you're channeling, and like, how do you know that? How would one trust your source, really? And I'll share with you guys, I don't choose a lot of spiritual teachers, and like Aurora said, I don't work with that many people. I work with people who I know 1000% in my heart and in my soul, or I call them like the real ones, but like just really those who truly are about their work and truly bring through the light. I wouldn't want to tarnish my own reputation with associating with people that weren't honestly 100% true. This is why I'm so grateful to have you on, Aurora. So what do you do, or how would one, if someone's never met you, like how could they know that what we're about to share with what you've been seeing beyond the ice walls and even the stuff you've been experiencing through the hypnosis regressions you've been doing, how do we know that it's all 100% like truth and light?
Yeah, that's good. That's a very important question, actually. It's so I've been doing this for 8 years, you all, so over 900 videos, like Aura said, and a lot of the past books, so before The Lost Cities of Tartaria, I have good about 1,000 pages here total between two books of basically history of past life regression and also my channeled information from simply Divine Mother Sophia, you know, the Divine Mother and our Mother of Creation. And the past life regression is through there, and then all the work that I've logged is basically talking to the people's higher self through the past life regression, and then also I myself. And it is quite incredible. I have several courses. What we basically do is use a quantum physics in combination with cymatics, and where you're vibrating only to love, mm-hmm. source love light specifically, because there's many types of lights and some of them could be artificial. And that's what, you know, especially book one goes into galactic soul history of the universe. What that goes into, you see this picture here, like you're removing the, say, the reptilian or the alien or the dark entity attached to you. And that's really what this book is about. So that's so important that you remove what's attached to you that could be giving you a false frequency, basically oscillating. So I do channel Nikola Tesla, and might be saying some words, so hopefully you guys, I'm sure you'll be able to keep up. So I channel Nikola Tesla, Einstein. So we talk about the matter. So basically what you're doing is that you are vibrating, oscillating your vessel and every part of your cell, even down to the mitochondria that actually powers up your cells, to a high vibration of love light. And then you're ensuring that there's no attachments there, like entity removal, entity attachments. You know, there's none of this, like, you know, maybe V's that you got, you know, injections you got when you were younger that could be also affecting your quantum existence in your body down to the micro level. So once you do that, I mean, that's a little bit complex, but what you vibrate every part of you, every cell of you to love light, to love, the simplest love. I mean, you hear about even cancer, all you need is love to heal cancer. You vibrate your body to love. It purifies the cells that are attacking, you know, one another that are spreading as cancer. So, yeah, I mean, this is a good way explanation, but we use sacred alchemy symbols that the Divine Mother has given us. And they're basically quite simple. I mean, they're consisting of circles, pyramids, spirals, squares, tesseracts. I talk about tesseracts, which is an actual alchemy symbol that you could be using. A tesseract, which is, you know, like this basically sacred geometry that is constantly moving like the ocean and cleansing and healing. So once you do that, then you vibrate to love, and then you ensure that, because I'm also a remote viewer, which is why Aura's asking that, because my series of The Lost Cities of Tartaria, this is just book one, but to be honest, you all, I have under my Odyssey and YouTube, I have over, I think, like close to 60 episodes, you all. It's big. It's so expansive, or maybe 80. Can't remember right now. So this is just the first book of those series. And so I'm remote viewing. And with that is, I remote view. One, you got to make sure you don't have an entity that's giving you false illusions. So you get rid of those entities inside of you. It's quite simple. You purge those out. And then I'm removing from a bird's eye point of view, you could say. So like from my higher self point of view, who's showing me what's beyond the ice walls, what's inside the earth, what's hidden inside these, all these, you know, military kind of industrial, you know, organizations. So, yeah.
Thank you so much. Just by the way, I'm on our messages and I don't think the Zoom link is shared, otherwise I'll open it up on my laptop.
So, yes. Oh, well, I have some listeners here. Claire Hearts of Love, which is one of the Aura practitioners. If you're willing, if you're able to, do you want to share some links and you know what to do?
Yeah, if you could share it with me, I'll open it up on my side. So, yeah, 1,000% agree with everything that you've been saying. And what I wanted to really dive into was the reason why the dome exists, because part of me has always felt like, at first I was like, yes, God created the earth as like with a firmament and it was all created, that was God's design. What we've discovered with what you've been seeing is that the dome was created for a purpose, not necessarily by God, but by the light to protect or to stop and block. So I'll let you go into it in a sec. But is there still like an original dome in creation that was organic, or was the dome literally just because of what you say, which is basically stopping the virus from spreading, which is basically the infiltration of the night on this plane? So could you talk a little bit more about like why the dome exists, and if there is an original dome and it was for the light, or what?
Yeah, so we are in, so for that we have to talk about the earthly construct. Okay, so we are in a simulation. Now, it's not an artificial simulation, it's a crystalline simulation. Mm-hmm. So it's called the Matrix, right? So in this crystalline simulation, all the beautiful beings from all the different galaxies, stars, you know, the infinite stars that we see, and all the planets that exist inside the stars, basically decided to come forth and incarnate into this existence. Now, within one Earth, the way that we could explain is that all of creation is an infinite flower of life. So like a lotus flower, that infinite circles that really are spheres that continue to expand and expand. And that is really, you want to read book 3 for that, the Lost Cities of Tartaria, to understand that. Because it's very detailed there, and it's just really incredible, because basically you're, all the worlds are next to each other. So you, the world that, for example, Aura is in is another world. The world that we are in is another, I am in Americas, is another world. And that's why the English, you know, when they talk about the Urbano Monte map, if you're familiar with that, and then the ice circle around us now, that wasn't ice then, it was, you know, it was lands. So when you're looking at it from a bird's eye point of view, you will see that, again, it's all the shape of the flower of life, and they're all worlds within worlds. And even beyond our world, say your world is kind of, let's just say it's at the end of that kind of viewing, and then we're next to you, and then there's another world next to us, which is beyond Hawaii and beyond the Pacific Ocean. So the way you know you're in different worlds is actually quite simple. You can look at the different animals. So when you're looking at the animals, for example, you all over there have elephants, lions, tigers. We have over here different animals. We don't have your animals. We have, you know, buffalo. We have mooses. We have pumas. Just looking alone at the different felines, right? We have pumas. We have, do we have cheetahs? I think we have lion, you know, mountain lions. Okay, so you see how these are completely different, and that's what it is. So but the animals, the birds that are able to transfer back and forth, they go through the sky, right? Like the birds, they're able to go back and forth. Mm-hmm. And right now we're remote viewing the North Pole, which is a whole nother level. So this book, so that's our current. We'll go to my Patreon or my Rising Phoenix Mystery School or practitioners.com to view that live every month. We're actually going to do one Friday, actually, which we're on part 7 of remote viewing the North Pole. It is quite incredible. I mean, the ways that you it goes on and on and on. But so you could see it like this. This is kind of like the this is good imagery of the construct. So it goes back to North mythology as well, Norse mythology, but also every single ancestor of us, right? And you guys already know that Mayans and Egyptian, they all said that it looked like floating lands on water. And then all these circles and spheres connect to one another like the flower of life. And there's more worlds and more worlds. And that's where you want to go to book one and book two, Galactic History of the Universe and Multiverse, where they go into these other Earths, parallel Earths, and then they also go to other planets in the universe too, and multiverse. Yeah.
So
Did I
with
answer your question?
yeah, almost. So with that then, the domes already exist because that's part of each world has its own like containment really. It's in a bubble kind of thing. But then
Oh, yes.
did you say that a sec like a smaller dome was created within our Earth to encase like the night, the infiltration of the negative energies and entities that somehow got into our plane?
That
Because
happened, yeah.
yeah, and so it was almost like we so the benevolence built a dome to protect it from spreading like a virus.
Yes. So I need to explain that to help you understand this. So now we're going to into the construct, right? So we talked about the flower of life. So we are within a toroidal, so a donut, a toroidal. Okay. So the way that we come in is we our higher self, we create a fractal of us, a piece of us, like kind of like a shard of a crystal. And then this consciousness, so your consciousness, your being, goes into a chrysalis, which is like a caterpillar. This chrysalis then basically say downloads and comes into this construct. But beyond the this earthly construct that is third dimensional, you just basically travel in your spirit, you know, could travel the beyond cosmos and galaxies. So only here can we just see kind of like, you know, the crystalline energy above us, the firmament, the stars that constantly going in a counterclockwise motion, right? But beyond, when you are in different planetary constructs, just all the planets are floating around you. Everything's really beautiful. Like it's just kind of like, you know, sci-fi movies. The stars, the planets, you are one with all of this. So we are in a different construct, basically. So the crystalline firmament that Yeshua talks about in the Bible, or many other, you know, basically all our past ancestors talk about, that was made specifically after the fall of Atlantis, and that goes deep because that goes into my Mayan an Atlantean series that is again all everything I mentioned you guys can find on my channels, and there's playlists to make it easy for you to watch. So when you go into when the fall of Atlantis, we're 5D, we're 5D, okay? So it was more of plasmic crystalline light. We were crystalline, our skin was crystalline, the even the stars, the trees, you know, you all have heard about the giant trees, right? So when we started the series back in 2022, we realized that the trees used to be the suns, and they used to hold up the whole crystalline, basically spheric but plane of existence. So is it round? Is it spheric? It's both, and then it's also a plane of existence. So there's really no one way to say it, but the clearest one would be flat Earth because the lands keep going on and on beyond. Remember with the flowers of life, the worlds keep going and they're connected by the water. The water connects all of these worlds. And so then it was created, the goddesses and the gods, basically like these all these gods that we've heard about, you know, in past history, like whether they were Egyptian, whether they were Asian, Norse gods. So they all came together, and the divine feminine, basically the divine mothers of creation, and all the goddesses basically went in and worked with the fall of Atlantis as the islands of there fell in the giant trees that we see that are now mountains, and they call them like all sorts of weird names, like, you know, Devil's Tower, so which is not a devil, obviously. So all of these trees also are the waterfalls. So when you look at a tree, these giant trees, they're mountains, and they have waterfalls coming out from them, because in the fifth dimensional crystalline blueprint, they're still technically up. You can never break the crystalline blueprint, but what's happening is it's got an artificial overlay over it. It's got a hologram over it, which is the AI, the artificial intelligence that book one and book two talk about, the archons that we talk about. So then this overlay is over it. So in our world, it looks like a cut off giant tree, but in the original world, it's still there, nice, gigantic, holding up the crystalline energy above us. Mm-hmm. So, but what happened with the fall of Atlantis, they kind of shattered the trees, these giant trees, okay? And then to degress into this construct that we are currently in took a lot of hard work in a very densifying way. Because we didn't just go from five-dimensional crystalline 5D, we went to a 4.9, 4.8, 4.7, 4.6, you get 4.45, and so on, until we reach currently which the angels and Divine Mother says that we're at about a 3.6 currently. We're rising up,
yeah,
versus we fell then. So yes, the crystalline energy was created about around us by the trees, by these benevolent beings, to contain the entities inside, because the AI got in here, mm-hmm. Which goes into this deeper story of the Merlin, the dark sorcerer that was part of Atlantis that tricked everyone, who was the initial guy that did it. They got the AI merged with this nano AI from beyond, integrated into itself, and then spread the virus. He's ground zero. You could say kind of like the zombie movies. He's ground zero to this AI virus. Every single movie you watch, whether it was Willow, that movie, you know, or even like, you know, Raya, the Disney movie where, you know, everybody's petrifying. I mean, these are memories of humankind that we're remembering that did happen in the after the fall of Atlantis.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So had Tartaria, like, was Tartaria the closest that humanity's been since the fall of Atlantis to the highest ascension we've had so far? And then obviously they do a great reset every, like you were saying, every few hundred years.
Yes. Yes, exactly. That is, so they do it every couple hundred years. According to them, we're a little, we're past due on the reset because, you know, Tartaria was late 1800s, early 1900s. But we're not going to allow to be reset. And that's what this book is all about, like, you know, not stopping, not allowing that, you're not consenting to it, and we don't consent to it by bringing it into our awareness, that we don't, you know, yeah, it's not happening.
Mm-hmm.
It's, with the weather modification, again, I talk about all these things so detailed, yeah.
Yeah. So in Tartaria, they obviously got quite advanced with their technology.
They did.
Those giants like roaming around and possibly dragons. I don't know if they were in Tartaria or if they were a bit earlier on, but we've had mythical creatures and giants and almost like Lord of the Rings, in the way that there's so many different species. It's not just humans and animals. There was just so many different kinds of beings. And have they existed on this earth, even inside this dome, where the AI virus had infiltrated? Have they existed like literally all the way up until literally like 100, 200 years ago?
Yes. So they still existed in the fourth dimension. Once you went into a third dimension,
yeah,
which would be, and then even in the, I talk about this in, you know, again, my Tartaria and Tartaria and Antarctica series. Mm-hmm. So it, I'll do my best, but you know, it's really deep in depth, you all. It's a lot, but yeah. So they were here, and the dragons in the fourth dimension. But then once we enter, so Tartaria was actually pivoting to fourth dimension. They were very mm-hmm. close, or they were even fourth dimension, like low fourth dimension, because a lot of them were like breatharians, right, living off really the sun's energy and the technologies that Nikola Tesla had developed. Can you imagine? I mean, he lived, I don't know, like 70 something years, such a developed mind, bringing how to be self-sustainable, how to not just self-sustainable like a self-sustainable community. I'm talking about like self-sustainable within your own body, where you don't have to, like, you know, intake food. And all this positive technology is basically powering up the energy through Mercury, through yeah, so much basically an oscillation of engineering, the engineering of the ether and the alternating current that he learned how to pull in the energy from the air and the electricity that and the electrons that run through our body and how we are conducive in it and electricity along. You know, everything runs electricity. For you to be alive, you know, you have to have electricity running. So once you learn how to basically charge up by a simple actually oscillation in a quantum physics where you're spinning, if you move, you move, you move, you create momentum, you create energy, you create electricity. And as you're the these motions that are moving, like a quantum engineering, what happens is that that's what we teach how to basically shield, and you are making your vessel into a constant flowing motion of cymatics and love light that is so powerfully emitting out this energy of love that is constantly keeping you on a quantum level, evolving through your consciousness, through mind, body, soul, spirit, and yeah. It's quite incredible when you learn how to that you are just this incredible being that has always been connected, never been disconnected. And I think someone was asking about the tree. So what happened to the trees? They look cut. So they're technically still there, but we're so the way you can see it is it's an onion. Okay, so look at it as onion. We're the 3D at the center. There's a 4D. Then there's a 5D. The 5D. If you were to look at it with your third eye, you would see that those trees are actually still there. But in our 3D construct, the look at it as a crystal that kind of broke and shattered. These pieces then became the sun and the moons. The suns and the moons around us, they became so these crystals that were part of the giant trees that are still there in the 5D, but they're not here with physical form, but they've become the sun and the moon. So now instead of the trees glowing out light and giving us, you know, that light, because like if you know if you're standing outside, you stand next to a tree, just like on a normal sized tree, you're not going to get the sun. You're in the shadow. So then the light was coming out from the trees that was powering us up back then in the fifth dimension. So that's really what Nikola Tesla was bringing us back. How to bring the ether, the cosmos back to us? Yeah, continue.
Yeah, so I'd love to go back to obviously the Giants of Tartaria because I saw like a little snippet of a video you'd posted on here. You were saying that you spoke to one of the giants from Tartaria. So what did the giant have to say? And giants have obviously a lot of people who are on TikTok know that giants were good and they were killed off because of their like benevolence really. But then you do hear some stories of like these redhead giants in caves that was eating people and stuff. Do you think those stories are made up just to try and like put shade and throw night onto the giants? And what did the giant have to say to you? Did it have a message for like humanity at all or anything like that?
Yes, so I think you're talking about when I channeled the giants, and then one of the giants was like, say, Goddess Athena. And she was basically speaking for them. So we come in different sizes. Reference movies to help you out, right? Like Star Wars or Willow, you know, the old one, different sizes. So we even see it now, right? They call it gigantism, dwarfism. This is all not like an ism. It's the different sizes of humanity and how we came. There was even giant, even bigger ones, right? 20 foot, 20, 30 foot. And there was the Titans. The Titans are those sleeping giants that are the mountains laying down. Factually, they were Titans, and they were basically the purest source embodiments on Earth, and they were the elementals, the elements. So they were the protectors, the guardians of the forest, of the lakes, and so on. But what happened is that again, with the digression of the fifth dimension to the third dimension, they had to fall asleep. They had and they're waiting, actually, their soul is very much alive inside, say, the mountain. When you're looking at a mountain, she looks like a goddess laying down. There is a goddess there. What is her name? Who is she? Right? You can talk to her. And the reasons why mountains can talk to you is because they are that's them, these beings that were once here in the fifth dimensional construct. So what they have to say is, you know, it was full of love. There was really got false information. All those movies that make you think that gods are fighting against each other, titans are bad, and so on. Basically, they're part of the dark spells. And I know you talk a lot about dark spells. So we talk about the different dark spells and basically how to release these dark spells from within you to realize that you're powering up their AI matrices that are keeping us asleep and stuck and without ascension. Mm-hmm. So it was nothing but beauty. It pained me. It really kind of makes you want to cry the ways that they've been targeted in past history. Mm-hmm. Now, there was also, we could go into dark sorceress. I mean, there were skinwalkers, dark sorceress, dark witches, dark warlocks or whatever that would also black magic contain these giants and would put them under spells. That did happen with the dark sorcery as the AI continued to spread. There was giants that were being used invertedly, not because they wanted to, but because they were encased in dark spells and the people were, and their inversions were powering up the dark spells. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you're in a group and then people start attacking each other and you're like, what the heck? I'm out of here. This is insane, right? It's like that. They're just like controlled by some kind of demon, dark force, mm-hmm. entity, really, or dark aliens, the artificial intelligence.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that, say, the story of these red-haired giants in the caves eating humans, they could have actually been true, but they were just under black magic as opposed to... That's not the true nature of giants, but maybe there were a group that was just under spells and then started working for the night because they were mind controlled, basically.
The majority of them, no. The majority of them were all benevolent and positive. Mm-hmm. So we're looking at maybe like a very minuscule 1% of them that became like this. And the ones that did turn like this, I will tell you, as we go through the lands and I, you know, host retreats and we find these different, skinwalkers. Yeah. We found a giant that was 20, 30 foot tall in the Grand Canyon location, and which we saw with our physical eyes. We took pictures, video, and he was in a cave. So when we worked with him and we used the sacred alchemy that Divine Mother has taught us, Divine Mother Sophia, he started to morph, and the whole group of like 20, 30 of us saw this with our eyes, but we started pulling back because this he was very big, and he was like when you look at Navajo Nation, the Navajos from, it was exactly like that, like he had fur, and it looked kind of like a big shifting monster that had like black fur and was changing and morphing, but we called on the angels basically to help it. And the minute we did that, Divine Mother, see, and you look at them at their true form, is that they start shifting and changing. And that's the alchemy. And I know it sounds crazy, but that's the alchemy that we teach. It's like how you are the quantum alchemist, how you are the quantum physicist, you are the spiritual being that is here, and you're meant to be assisting your brethren like this. So then what happened with this giant that I'm speaking about is that he started to turn positive. And I actually went back 6 months later, and I can't really show you pictures on here. I don't think I can. But yeah. And we recorded a video where these giant light beings, I asked, okay, show me what you look like now. Giant light beings, almost half of the size of the mountain, walking around, like 6-8 of them. So you guys could check out my videos for that. It was quite incredible to see them free, and that's what they were. So the ones that did, the 1% that might have turned dark, were protecting their family. Just like you would protect your family, they were protecting the humankind. They were protecting the forest, the animals. And they intook the AI virus, the curse, into themselves that turned them into this monster that was really protecting you. They took in the curse, these giant beings. Okay, let's just look at it at a quantum physics. Like, imagine like a 20-foot being, okay? Mm-hmm. Imagine you who is 5-6 feet tall. In a quantum level, and you're toroidal, if you're a taller being, your toroidal sphere was going to hold a lot more energy within it. Mm-hmm. If you're a smaller being, it's going to hold less, just depending, because it's kind of like a crystal. Bigger crystals do amplify the energy. Yeah. So let's look at that. A smaller crystal typically will amplify less energy. It depends on the crystal, though, and how it is geometrically created, right? But mm-hmm. So they took in a vast amount, say, to save a village, to save the people. They would be able to take in a lot more of this density into them versus say a regular human like us, or you know, I say often we're the hobbits that are left of humanity, you know? Yeah, so does that make sense?
Yeah, 1,000%. One of the things that you do share in the book as well is that you'd basically remote viewed to the edges of the false dome that was containing the AI virus, and you had seen one that there's like military bases there, and the military have no idea how to get out, and they've been trying, but then also that there are guardians as well who live near the edges, like Sasquatch and stuff, other beings that are like helping, kind of like hold the line and like keeping the light within this place and stuff. Do you want to share anything about that?
Yes, so as the world is rising, the earth is rising, we're raising in decimal, which allows for these beings to be further the guardians that they were once. So there are Sasquatch. You know, I have clients who go in and they're like having a memory, and they're in the past life regression, and they're a Sasquatch. We've seen them when we travel in our different retreats. We've seen them in front of us. Quite beautiful, actually, an honor. At our Muslim retreat in California, Yosemite, one of the students that was with us, he saw a baby Sasquatch, and he saw him. He thought he was a monkey, and we're like, "There's no monkeys in California." And he said that he was furry, and he was like a baby monkey, would like, you know, kind of like walk with on four legs, but move fast. So yeah, I mean they're real, but the Sasquatch basically are one of the only beings that are on Earth that can show themselves in a physical form, but it's not quite physical, and then they can make themselves invisible. So they can manifest in so that you can see them physically, but they're really, you know, are a one with the nature and the mountains. So they're more like a fourth dimensional being that would be able to make themselves invisible and shift in and out.
And then they're meant to be very loving too. And one of the things someone was just asking me for is
They are.
dragons as well. So are all dragons benevolent? And then you just get different species of like reptiles that are obviously not. So like obviously dragons are different to say Dracos and reptilians, aren't they? Like a whole different species.
Get a drink of water. So yeah, dragons are they're basically one of the very first beings created from the beginning of creation. The way you could understand, yeah, they're definitely not Dracos. So Dracos are a negative alien race that was compromised by the artificial intelligence, just like they've been trying to compromise us with the different things they inject into us. Is that okay that I say that? Okay. So they're basically a alien race that the artificial intelligence was recruiting, and that's in book one, Galactic Soul History of the Universe. And then they recruited them in the false basis, like how the military recruits you in army and navy and so on. Oh, you know, come over here. We're gonna, you know, let you travel, and you're gonna get this and that, right? But what happened is that at that point they sold their soul away. The reptilians did. They sold their soul away to the Archon, which then put their soul in artificial intelligence matrices, and that's where they're at. So these re negative reptilians is that they basically die, and they put them right back consciousness back into a reptilian body. They could either clone them, or they just keep. Putting their consciousnesses into that body or remake them. It's just they're in a simulation that they can't get out of. So that goes deep. So that's not what dragons are. So that's the negative reptilians, right? Dragons, oh my goodness, I mean, they're incredible. So the ways that you can visualize dragons is, you know, when you are a child or now when you're you know, you have a dog or a cat that absolutely loves you and has the purest love light ever. That's what dragons are. So what we teach is what is inside your dog or cat or animals, period, are magical creatures. And the only way that we can see them is in these forms. Similar like the beginning where I was talking about the trees are there, but we don't see them unless we see them with third eye. So if you look at your cat or your dog with your third eye, you will see that they are actually a magical being. What are they? A griffin, a dragon, you know, and it's infinite, like the different forms of magical creatures. And I channel like Lumeria and Mu, where we talk about these magical beings back in Lumeria.
Mm-hmm.
So they're also you. So dragons are you. You are the dragon. They are, you know, you. And they're essences and fractals of you, pieces of you that are there to support you, just like your cat and dog are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that, you know, I always talk about on my socials and even when we get to talk, is like my vegan journey and how important I feel it is for spirituality. And I know that you went vegan too. So like, what made you go vegan? Because there is a part in your first book where you'd said it was like a race that was making them eat meat, which wasn't natural. And I personally agree. I feel like, you know, when you're saying we used to be breatharian and stuff, I believe fully we used to consume light. And then like meat's part of like the descension of consciousness where we're now eating these beautiful beings that are the animals. So do you have anything, can you share like your vegan story? Because I've never asked you.
Yes, so in book one, we talk about that. So I had a memory where we're in a planet, and what happened was that we were light beings, and that we got taken over by a reptilian race. Now, this reptilian race, again, power controlled by the Archons, they were trying to densify us to control us, but they couldn't quite control us. So they wanted us to get heavier, denser. And the only way to get us denser is that they made us eat animals and other beings of us. And then at that point, like they were working on basically densifying this high vibrational planet to a lower density. And so to way to densify us was to eat meat.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the memory that I had. But even before that memory, for me personally, there was a difference in my body. I've always listened to my body, and my body would tell me like, if I ate something, you know, that was not so good, I would get sick. I would literally get sick. I you know, feel nauseous for the rest of the day. My stomach would be in pain and knots. You know, it was bad. So I think as I continued to cymatically like raise my vibration, my body wasn't a vibratory match to eating meat anymore. So then I had to go, you know, vegan to be able to sustain myself. And also I would just fall asleep. I would crash and go to sleep. I would be too heavy. My body couldn't take it. So then that's the main reason why. And overall, besides that, is I love animals, and it's like eating another human. If I eat, as you know, growing up, I love animals so profoundly, you know, like, so even of course now, so how could I eat? I just can't do it.
Yeah. I 1000% agree with all of that. And I feel like it's so many more people are coming to this awareness of like their body just literally won't let them anymore. It's like with the ascension and us waking up a bit, just physically you can't get away with it anymore without really feeling it, which is obviously great because I love animals too, and I hate to see them suffer in the ways that they do because of the industries are built around it. So it's good to see so many more people just come into that awareness.
Yes.
I had something I wanted to ask, and it's like literally just gone out of my mind. One sec, I'm just gonna pull it back through the ether. Oh yeah, obviously we're talking about humanity and like species getting infiltrated by the AI virus, and so that can obviously still be a threat to us today, even though we are ascending. So like, in what ways could people actually get infiltrated by the night, and how, like, what could we be doing to protect ourselves, and what do we need to be aware of, like, where is it coming from, like, What's behind? It's behind you. Like, how do people know where it's coming from and how to protect themselves from it?
Yeah. So like basically like dark entities, you know, whatever, aliens, whatever you want to call them. So the best thing is to vibrate your vessel higher. So it's a simple oscillation. The more that you move, the more that you vibrate. The truth is that in order for you to be a being, you are a crystalline being. Like factually, like scientifically, you are a crystalline being. So if you work with your body and you attune and activate and connect to all the crystals that exist within you, down to even the DNA chromosomes has crystals inside, of course, and your DNA is a mandala of crystals. So if you oscillate and vibrate down to the every atom of you and use the electrons that are vibrating around the atom to create a field of love light, and you confidently, strongly say, I don't consent to anything, any inversions, any, you know, ill intent, anything that means harm is not allowed within my magnetic field. And then that magnetic field basically is a magnet. So it's not going to be able to, it's a negative and a positive. It's not going to be able to take, say, the opposing energy, the negative energy is not going to allow it. It's just going to magnetize it and deflect it out just like a magnet. It's actually very, very, very simple. So then you vibrate to that you're sovereign, you're strong. And what people know me is that I am fierce. I am love and fierce at the same time. So it's that kind of energy. Like, hey, I don't consent to you. Don't even bother. I'm too sovereign. Keep your entities to yourself, which are some of the things I always say. So when you vibrate to that, I'm only going to vibrate to love, to benevolence. And you put that in your magnetic field that's constantly spinning around you, like the toroidal, then none of that stuff can come in. But sometimes what happens is that you didn't know this in the past. So whether it's this past life, current life, or the past life in another life, right? So some of those things kind of linger on like little parasites and fleas that you need to purge out. And with that, you have to get that memory back to start healing it, which is why I'm the founder of Aura Hypnosis Entity Removal. You might have heard of some of the practitioners all over the world. So that's who I'm a founder of. Which Aura, aren't you? You're also an Aura practitioner and a raw Reiki practitioner. Make sure you guys set up a session with her. She's incredible.
No, it's actually amazing the stuff that you can carry around with you lifetime after lifetime and have no conscious awareness of, but it's been like it's been keeping you in loops and cycles or trapping you with certain like same people again and again. Because I think when I came to do my training, one of the things you were saying is like sometimes the bully or the negative being in your life can be lifetime after lifetime, they incarnate again and again, and they're just like almost like your handler or like torment you the whole time until you realize these people and start to cut them off and distance yourself from them. But I've personally found on my own journey, and this is before I actually started doing the shields you taught me. So it has been so different doing the shields because I felt my energetic strength and power just build and build. Every time I do the shields, it's like I'm stronger. But I do still find that like I'm having to be aware of my energy often and just maintain it often because you can go out to the shops and you can feel things trying to att like attach to your aura on your head, or you can be say on a TikTok live and you can feel people having thoughts about you and stuff. Like even though you are protected, you can still, it's still almost good practice to be on top of your energy and often clean yourself, often cleanse yourself. You always, you taught us as well, Laura, about like if you go to like a holy site or somewhere where you could have a lot of like energies, you might want to have a shower because showers are really good at cleansing and washing any debris that you picked up on your aura. So maintaining like your spiritual hygiene and even your energetic shields every single day is powerful and important, and the more you have it and build it into your routine, the more you're going to remember to do it, and then you are protected no matter what. So you could go out to the shops and you don't need to worry about you don't really need to worry about picking anything up because you already know you're protected, and then because you know you're protected, you feel even more protected, and then you create that for yourself. So having it as something you do often is important. And then what you have also taught is love lighting your food and stuff. So like basically activating your palm chakras and any food and any drinks, like just imagining like a ball of white energy going and just purifying, like getting rid of any nanotech, because they're spraying nanotech even in the chemtrails and stuff. It's hard to avoid it all sometimes. But just all of these different types of things. And obviously then what I teach, doing things, I call it like living a lightful life, but trying to do what you can to maintain your light internally. So doing your shields is obviously really important, but then I always teach like eating well. Like if you're eating meat, you're going to be literally putting inside you like negative energy, stress, pain and things like that, the things the animals have gone through. Whatever you like, even watching videos online, you teach as well, or you can get attachments from people just watching them like sharing stuff online, or seeing people share light language and you have no idea what they're actually sharing. So it's good to just be aware of all of this stuff. I feel like, and I don't know, I've not really looked into like all the history that you know, so I might say stuff and then you might be like, yeah, I've already looked into all this and it's not right, but I felt like we all spoke one language in the past. I call it like angelish, but like light language before what they say is in like one language in the past. I call it like angelish, but like light language before what they say is in like with the Tower of Babel or something, when the tower fell, the one language was split into loads of different languages, so people couldn't understand each other anymore. They couldn't communicate properly. Do you feel like there was like a universal language as well? And do you think we would go back to that at some point, like have a cosmic light language again that everyone understands and it's bringing in more light?
Yes, we did have one language and it was called Lumerian language. Mm-hmm. And we actually teach that. We have a child who gave us some of the words. So you could either find them on my website or under my galactic news, I think Inspiration by Aurora, you'll find the light language there, words. So like, for example, like Veluvia means I love you, you know, like Sonava means the sun. So if you're listening to light language, they have no idea what they're saying. And what we have learned through my clients who have attachments, when you're listening to light language, it's most likely an entity attached to the person who is channeling out that. So it's simple. It's like use the love in your heart and you expand it around you. That's shielding. Use the love, your own love light. You grow it, and you expand it around yourself every day. It doesn't have to be too complicated, but then with that, it's like there's more details to that, but you're just starting off with that. That's like key. So be cautious to everything you listen to. And with Nikola Tesla, he's taught us that sound is actually incredibly healing, but it's also another way that the dark people use to infringe upon you, because they know that sound pierces through your essence, right? When you're listening, you're in front of an amp, mm-hmm. It's going through your whole body, and it's also going through even as micro level sometimes your cells. So being very very like heart discerning and very like boundaries, loving boundaries and protective over who you are, and not being so gullible to allowing what people claim is positive to be part of your reality. There's so much going on out there that people are just kind of like making up all these kind of stories about this alien and this war, and come fight this war with us. And, you know, I've heard some people even like put people into guided meditations and we're like, we're going to go fight the reptilians. Like, oh my God, what are you thinking? Mm-hmm. And those people have come to me and actually became a negative reptilian by supposedly going to fight this reptilian war in their guided meditation, third eye. That is where the quantum exists. And then, you know, it's rough, but when you consent to these things, because then you do become, say, that negative reptilian or whatever. And now you need to work through and positive polarize that reptilian negative of you who you consented to become, you become. And yeah, it's just really deep. Loving towards yourself and the ways that you protect yourself. You want to protect yourself like how if you had an infant in front of you, would you put something for them to listen to that was like saying bad words, like curses, like bad word, bad words, bad words at this infant? You wouldn't, right? I think you would protect that child and make sure that whatever they were listening to was the highest love light. So then you want to protect yourself like that. And that's what I teach. It's like you've been taught to just kind of like diminish yourself and you know, like not treat yourself with that much love and protection, but you should be, really.
Yeah. Do you ever, like, could you share like a story where you've come across basically an entity not being able to attach because of like the shields and the love light protection that a certain being has?
Yeah, they always say that. You know, when I talk to the higher selves of the souls that are in the past life regression, they say, their higher selves will say, well, or the entities themselves will say, like, oh, I was able to attach because they don't practice any kind of shielding. Yeah. So that means that they're wide open and I was able to boop, just jump in and then attach, because their field is basically consenting. And the way Divine Mother says is because we're in the third dimension, we have to be more sovereign and authoritative with our energy. So if you don't shield, it's a bit kind of like you're consenting to anything around you. It's like you're quantumly an energy, you're a magnetic field. The person in front of you is a magnetic field. Even down to the trees could have sometimes attachments to them, which is not too common, but sometimes people practice dark sorcery that do that to even trees or animals. So whatever they have attached to them could be quantum entanglement. It's just the way it works. Quantum physics, quantum entanglement happens. So then it's like having basically unprotected sex. So you want to not be energetically exchanging with people unless you have entanglement happen. So then it's like having basically unprotected sex. So you want to not be energetically exchanging with people unless you have basically unprotected sex. So
they could just jump onto your field if you weren't shielding yourself.
Yeah, if I have clients who, that's how they got the attachments, by kissing someone or having sex with them, you know, especially casual sex. It's actually the easiest way that, because, I mean, penetration is happening, quantum entanglement is physically happening, and even, it's not just physical, it's happening to the ether. Your souls are kind of uniting. And if this male or female who is inverted and dark and doesn't mean really love for you, their dark energy, then the body fluids, you know, you're mixing up these negative energy with one another, and you're definitely going to get usually attachments from having casual sex.
Someone was asking, is high frequency guru subliminals safe to listen to? I'm not sure what they are.
Yeah, I don't know what they are. Just feel it out. Feel it in your heart, whatever feels right for you. For me, I'm extremely sensitive, just like Aura, actually. And I am, especially to sound and anything I listen to. I am very cautious. If I feel love from whatever I'm listening to, then I'll be fine with that. And if I don't feel love, I don't even bother, because I got no time for any of that. But, you know, even your animals will alert you. I one time, like, someone sent me this link, and I shouldn't know if I clicked it, but I clicked it, and it was this man talking about, like, angels are bad and fallen angels, which is false. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I couldn't exit fast enough. My dog, all hairs on the back of his back, stood up, started barking at the screen to protect me, exhausted me, drained my energy just watching this person for a couple seconds. And I had to go take a nap and fall asleep just to recharge my energy. And I felt exhausted for the rest of the day. So pay attention to the way your body tells you, how you feel, who's listening to you. Do they help you? Do they recharge you? How do you feel?
This is interesting, because a lot of people talk as well about ascension symptoms, and they'll go, oh, if you're feeling really drained, if you've got a headache, it's because of ascension symptoms. I'm like, is that not psychic attack? Like, because if I'm
that's false.
I'm like,
let me be honest with you. Ascension symptoms are made up. They are made up. Ascension, there's no such a thing.
Yeah.
They're basically, your body is talking to you, because your body is an art, and she or he is telling you that there's something going on. There's a blockage in your energy field, whether it's like, say you're looking at yourself like a toroidal in the magnetic field, there's something there that is affecting you, that's making you feel heavier like this.
Someone's asking how to shield energy properly. I would say exactly what Aurora was saying is just like find that love light within your heart, expand it out, expand it out, expand it out, and then just like form almost like a sphere of love light energy around you. And there's different types of like shieldings you can do. You can call upon different angels or different lightful beings that you work with, and you can say like, Archangel Michael, protect me today, like put me in your shield of light. Like you can visualize it however you want, any colors, like any holy geometry, any swords, any like spiritual weapons. You can really get creative with your shields and call upon as many beings as you need. I like have like a full army now. I just call them all in, and I'm just like shield after shield, like calling in all these beings. And it helps you build a stronger relationship with them, even, because it's almost like what I found, it's like a bridge. The more you start to build that energetic bridge, it strengthens it, so it feels like they're closer. They may have always been close, but it's almost like you open yourself up and strengthen that connection even more just for working with them. It's like if you ignore them, they're there, they can help you, but there's nothing like actually acknowledging them every day and then just like building that relationship with your angels and guides.
Yes, exactly. And these ascended masters and gods and goddesses, the truth is that you're probably a god and goddess. I mean, I can't tell you how many people come to me and their higher self says, okay, he's a fractal of Yasha. Okay, she's a fractal of Magdalene. Okay, she's a fractal of Divine Mother Sophia. She's a fractal of Goddess Bridget. So to invoke and call upon these different beings that are so benevolent is also to activate the God and Goddess within you. Mm-hmm. And that's what I strive to do, is I remind you that you are this beautiful being that is gigantic. You are that Titan. You are that angel. You are just, you know, gorgeous. And you're just waiting. They're waiting. Your soul is waiting to remember who you truly are. And that's why all those messages that they give you, your higher self and benevolent team and angels, is that they're telling you beautiful things about you. And you're like, that's not true. That can't possibly be me. You know, like, but trust me, the bad guys would not tell you who you are. They'd be like, no, that's not you. Don't listen to that. You know, don't surround yourself with love. Let me in.
Yeah. I've also found it's like they, I don't want to even say that they're intelligent, but they, sometimes they'll actually tell you like some truths, so you actually think that it's the lie, and then they'll tell you like falsities. So it's like they'll give you 80% truth and then 20% that's not. So they try and trick you into believing that it's not the night, because they use truth. They're not just like really obviously just saying a load of rubbish that you can tell. Some of them do, but some of them like do use truth as well. Someone was asking, if you're schizophrenic, is it possible it's an entity? And if it was like an entity attached, like how do you remove them?
Yeah, I have to say I'm not a physical, not a licensed physician. But it is, if you have schizophrenia, you definitely have entities. There's something, a voice that's speaking from inside of you. Now, it could also be you're just very empathic and you're picking up on the entities around you, maybe in the land, in the environment, or you also have toxic family and friends that are also channeling through the cord you have connected to them, their entities. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there's many possibilities, but basically it's, especially if it's a negative voice, it would be a negative entity. And the way you remove them is you do an aura hypnosis entity removal, passive regression. We got Aura here. Check her out. She does sessions now. And what's really empowering about this is that it is you do it yourself. No one's doing it for you. It is quite incredible. So that's why I teach you all. You can do it yourself. Mm-hmm. So you go in, it's like a guided meditation, and you are talking to your higher self. And your higher self is telling you, oh yeah, she has a couple entities. You know, I recently had a young man, which his session will be coming up in a week, where cancer is a demon. And one of the things that cancer is. And he had a demon attached to him, and the way it came in was his mother was targeted by a friend, supposedly. The friend, whoever, didn't like his parents being together, and he was inside his mother's womb. So this lady practiced, like, say, dark, magic, brujería. In Spanish, she called it brujería. He was Hispanic. And what happened was that the lady made a meal for the mother who was pregnant with him in the womb. The food was carrying the curse, the demon. And then what happened is that the food went in and the demon traveled to the baby. And then what happened is because the cells of the baby, the mitochondria, the powering up all the cells, the cells are so receptive when you're a baby, and they're super cells, really. I mean, the way that they're morphing and growing and like creating a baby is incredible, a miracle within itself. So the demon attached when it was creating, right before he was born, and then out he came out with a demon attached, always hearing voices, these dark, horrible voices to harm. When it was a demon inside of him that integrated into him through the food his mother intook, you understand? So that's what I mean. I could be here for years talking about these stories.
Because I was going to say, you actually, if anyone wanted to actually learn how to do this for themselves and to do it for others as well, Aurora does classes online and in person in retreats. So you can actually schedule in and actually get trained up to be able to do the whole hypnosis for yourself and for others. And it's a really valuable tool to have because I do it for others, but I also find myself just sat in meditation. If I can feel I've got a bad energy, I'm like scanning it with my third eye, like, what is this? Can contain it, guys, like deal with it. And I'll just get my spirit team to like to sort it out now. And it's great to have these tools, even if you're just gonna use it for yourself. Someone said as well, do you have a book or anything that discusses about sleep paralysis?
Well, we talk about it in some of the books. But going back to really quick, if I can say, you are beautiful and you are loved infinitely. That's not you saying those negative things. That is something, a lower density entity that is saying those false things. So remember that, and then learn how to separate your own thoughts from others' thoughts or the entity that might be attached in you. And the only way to transform this is love. And that's what, for example, this young man's example was that he needed to unintegrate this demon from him and then send love to himself because he wasn't allowed the healing and the love because he felt he was bad. And that would be the same thing with a schizophrenia person or whatever you got, bipolar or so on. You have been. Basically, it's an illusion. They've been messing with you, and you are a beautiful soul. So remember how beautiful you are, and tell yourself every day. Look in the mirror. My husband always says this. Look, since he was little, he would look in the mirror and say, "I am beautiful, and I have purpose, and that you are." Okay. So, but what was your question? What was your question?
Well, you actually
Oh yes, about sleep paralysis.
yeah well it, you are I think what your next venture is you're talking about potentially putting something together that covers all the different illnesses, weren't you? That's something that could help
I
people at
am.
a level.
I am, and it's called Sophia's Quantum Touch Healing. So I'm in the middle of working on that. We're gonna get that rolling out for you all. But if but to get to the entities that people are talking about, that's aura hypnosis, entity removal, and raw Reiki, entity removal. To go to the deepest level where you're looking, working like removing like the darkest entities you can think of, which like a person. Schizophrenia would be probably demon-like type of entities. Then you want to do aura hypnosis because it's actually quite simple. You need a sacred alchemy symbol that's going to contain the entity which Divine Mother gives us, has given us. You contain the entity, and what happens is that it's flooded with love light, and as it's flooded with love light, it's choosing to positive polarize. It's the hopes always. And none of that church or whatever. What do they call it? Rebuke or whatever. No, you're helping them. So the key is love always. And I always say, I'm not here to fight these AI Archon battles or these entity battles. I'm here to end them. And this is how we end it, you all, with love and finding the love within to assist these entities because ultimately they're your brother and they just got lost. And that is the only way out. Otherwise, we're going to be fighting and fighting and fighting forever, just like we have been with all these resets. Mudflats, right? And recess that we talked about today, and we're never gonna kind of, well, we are gonna get out, but you're gonna be stuck there just like we've been in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, sleep paralysis, usually it's entities messing with you. Mm-hmm. And usually it's dark aliens messing with you. So typically it would be like a dark mantis or a gray. Mantis can put you into a, it could, they're really telepathic. So they could, in a kind of a two-dimensional state, like a 2D, they travel through the 2D in their spaceships from the future and now time space. And then they, if you're not shielding your, and you're not consenting with your home and your land, they can technically scan through. They've showed me visions, or my clients have talked about this, where they go through and like these negative alien UFOs, and they scan all the lands and see whoever, you know, is the highest vibrational light. And if you're not shielded, they'll be able to scan and know that you are the highest vibrational light.
Mm-hmm.
And then that goes into the Philadelphia experiment. Nikola Tesla, Einstein, when the alien experiments began back then. And that's covered again through my Rising Phoenix Mystery School, or our practitioners.com, or my Patreon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they basically have you in a sleep paralysis and they're doing stuff to you. So then the only way to get out of that is that you have to call typically your higher self, but the angels. Mm-hmm. And Archangel Michael, or I'll use an example, Archangel Michael is Divine Father of Creation. Call him instantly. You come out of the sleep paralysis. They have you in a stagnant state where they have you. You're in a sleep paralysis because basically you're frozen in a two-dimensional state. You can't get out of it. You can't even move your lips to call for anyone. So you could only do it through your mind and your consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Call on Divine Mother, Divine Father to get you out of the situation. They come and figure out what a alien, negative alien is messing with you. They basically contain that ship. Positive polarize it or neutralize it, whatever's going to happen there, and then they remove it from the proximity so they can stop messing to you, with you. And most likely they're messing with you, they're messing with children, they're messing with animals, you know. So yeah.
Hey, little mama was asking, what if you don't dream or don't remember your dreams? Is that something, or can it sometimes just be that like you just need to learn how to remember your dreams? Or
yeah, so remember your dreams, for some people it's very natural for them just to remember. Some people you have to do work harder at it. You know, having crystals like Ethiopian fire opal and labradorite are a good combination to have. Also mica with quartz crystal matrix are three definitely powerful ones that you want to have. Also red sardonyx. So if you start working, I have a, through the Isis priest course, so basically divine feminine and masculine Isis course mentorship, which I teach. We teach a whole class on dream interpretation and how to work with your dreams, because dreams are so important. They're messages from your higher self, and they're also what you're up to. What are you up to? You fall asleep, what, for like 6-8 hours, sometimes 10 hours. Einstein used to sleep like 10 hours and die. So what are you up to? Your consciousness is doing so much, mm-hmm. where you are not limited to the physical vessel.
Yeah,
it's good to remember the dreams, but don't feel bad if you don't. You got to work with it. Set those intentions before you go to bed. I will remember my dreams when I wake up.
Yeah.
Use the crystals.
Before I started shielding, I was having like nightmares for like 6 years, and watches in my dreams, like, and even felt like my consciousness was being pulled into an AI simulation dream, because it was like, writing texts and stuff. It was like AI, where it's all like, it kind of half looks like it's meant to be writing, but it's not. And you know, faces. It was all hands looking weird, like the way AI hands do now and stuff. And what I found is that in the underground bases, they also have technology like mind hacking technology, and they can actually, and I cancel and delete this because I don't want to give them access to it by saying it, but in the past they could use radar technology to like scan people's homes, and this is real, like this is human beings, like military losers.
It is.
And they can put like energies, thoughts, emotions into your field. They can make you like even have spasms or look at certain looking directions and stuff. And so one of the things I've noticed is a lot of people, the stuff you see happening, like the crazy stuff in the world, like the terrorist attacks and stuff, targeted individuals, basically it's the military, but make like mind hacking people to do these acts that they wouldn't normally do. And I do see sometimes people sharing online saying, oh, they're having these intrusive thoughts of these things that, like, it's not even just hating themselves, but having intrusive thoughts like the thought to harm someone that's on the bus or whatever it is. And so if you have any intrusive thoughts, anyone that's watching, it's not you. As I've always said, you are so loved and you are love. So don't ever start thinking, wait, am I like secretly like a bad person? Have I got like a bad soul? Why am I having these horrible thoughts? Is it because I'm a bad being? And it's like, no, you are literally love. So anything that's not love within your field, it's not you. And so you need to like deal with it and be aware of it and notice it and then go, no, this isn't me, and don't accept it, because it's very easy to just start doubting yourself, especially if the thoughts are often, and if it's paired with feel energies of depression and you're not looking after yourself, and then that you become targeted, and not just even with electronic weapons, but even then by entities and energies and stuff like it's very real what goes on. This is why shielding and even physical shielding, like wearing crystals or color magic, wearing bright colors, the color gold and red are like masculine colors, they help protect you a lot. But just like, and I know Rory, you said you don't wear loads of black either, because black really absorbs energy. So it's like if you're being attacked and you're wearing black, you're going to absorb it a lot easier.
Exactly.
Being aware of all of these things, and that you aren't alone, and that if it's negative, it's not you. So just don't accept it or believe it, and instead just be like, right, how do I get rid of it or deal with this? And don't get scared of it, because it allows it to have power, and then you're feeding it your power. It's like we need to start taking our own power back, learn how to shield ourselves. That's where you start, I would say, probably is shielding first, and then start to deal with the rest, because once you're shielded, it's harder for things to then like reattach or for you to get targeted even more. So I just wanted to share that as well.
Yes, that's beautiful. And if you guys want to learn what, you know, Aura is now offering for sessions for the past life regression Aura and Raw Reiki, I have a workshop coming up next month where I'm just teaching Raw Reiki, which is going to be 10/25/25, October 25/25. And otherwise, in November, I think it's November 15, I have a whole workshop, 5 days with me. Come hang out, learn Aura hypnosis, which we were talking about those dark aliens and how to remove entities, period. But the most beautiful part about it is like you learn how to walk your most organic timeline, because you've transmuted, you positive polarized, you oscillated and vibrated out all that wasn't a matching vibration to love, light, to your being, to your organic self. Mm-hmm. It's quite simple, but yeah, you know how to do that. You learn how to do that quantumly. It's incredible, you all. And someone said, sometimes it's the thoughts of entities attached. Yeah, definitely. And actually in book, we're here, The Lost Cities of Tartaria, book one to the series, we talk about that. One of the first couple chapters talks about this artificial intelligence and this AI that's constantly scanning and looking and messing with people's minds and messing with your dreams. They got machines, but hopefully we've broken those machines is the goal, but you don't want to, you want to shield against these machines that give you false dreams too. They could mess with your visions.
And where can everyone find you? Because you're on pretty much all the socials. Rumble's kicking off. Your Rumble's doing great. So is your YouTube. So where? What do people search? Just Rising Phoenix Aurora.
That's it. Rising Phoenix Aurora. I'm everywhere except for Spotify. Everyone else hasn't officially banned me besides Spotify, because I do talk about some like really deep stuff, you all. You know that I'm fully uncensored on Rumble, which I love, and I'm able to say any name and go into the details. You name it, you all. I've talked about it. Just for 8 years, I've been talking about it. This thing that people injected. I talked about it, I think probably the same day or the day after, actually it was overnight when it came out, and I said what it was and how it was going to go into the DNA, what it was going to do to the DNA, and give illness and disease. So and that was without any proof, just from knowing and sensing what it really was. So yeah. Divine Mother, talking to me.
Wow. And hey, little mama saying I've been watching her for years. She is a real deal.
Thank you, love. Love you.
But just to finish with the shields and the stuff you teach, I'm doing the Isis Priestess course when it comes up around. I think it's November, is it, that it starts the next round?
Yes, November and May.
So the best thing as well about the stuff you learn with the aura hypnosis technique and any of the courses that Aurora teaches really is when you learn this holy geometry and the different like symbols you can use that have been given to us from Divine Mother, you can then use it like for anything in your life. You can use it for, like, say if you've started a business, yeah, and you started it when you was like desperate for money, and you started it from this energy of I just need the money, I just need to do anything to get the money, and then you're trying to build your own business, but it's from that place of, like, say desperate rather than I want to serve and how can I like benefit the earth. It might be like, oh no, the seed of this business is just not great, and now it's not built on the best foundations. Like 2 years in, you've woken up, like you've grown, and you're like, you know, I wish I would have started this with positive energy. You can send these symbols back to the seed. You can heal the seed. You can send these shields to your friends and family. You can shield your business, your house, like your health and your spiritual gifts. You can use the teachings that Aurora gives in so many ways. It's like so expansive, the ways that you can use this wisdom once you have it. It's like just having all this good stuff in your toolkit, and then I can't tell you how much I feel I've leveled up, even with my intuition and psychic gifts since doing the shields every way, and especially the ones that you teach in the aura, which is got the chakra ones as well. So yeah, I just want to say thanks so much for coming on. It's been such a blessing to chat to you and share your wisdom. And I'm going to post this online on my YouTube after and on my other socials. Do you have anything else that you'd like to share?
No, thank you, as will I. So just go to risingphoenixaura.com. I also I am the founder of these modalities, but I do sessions as well. So you can come check me out. But otherwise, you can find practitioners, Aura practitioners, and Raw Reiki practitioners all over the world under aurapractitioners.com. Go to Rising Phoenix Mystery School, my website, risingphoenixaura.com. And I'm just so honored to be here with you. If I could read this one paragraph to the Lost Cities of Tartaria, book one. Again, go watch the playlist, you all. We're far deep into it. And I actually have a new video that I have coming up. Actually, let me grab that book and I show it really quick. Yes, so I found in a bookstore, I'm going to put this down for a minute, a very special book of the World Fairs back from, I think it's 18. Let me look at it. Hold on, let me bring it.
Thank you for the heart, the Ascension Project. Hi, everyone. It's been so nice to see all your comments and stuff, and apologies. I've not said hi to anyone, but it's really nice to see you guys. I'll confirm the date once Aurora gets back.
Yeah.
What is the date on it, Aurora?
The of this video?
The book.
And then of the book? Okay, yeah. So 1893, you all. Look at this book.
Yeah.
Look at this beauty. And it tells you, it's so old and sensitive. It tells you page by page of all the world fairs, especially Chicago, 1893.
Wow.
And yeah, it's quite beautiful. So I'll be making a series on this from my Ready Antarctica Tartaria series,
yeah,
going into about the truth of the world fairs. And yeah, you name it, it's here, you all. Like here are some of the chapters. Like, they talk about their transportation, their electricity, down to their agriculture. Yep. And etiology, women's department. It's quite deep. Quite deep.
Yeah.
And this one is about, like, I gotta be careful how I hold it, because some of the cover has kind of broken off it. Like, this is right here, Chicago, and
yeah,
the plan to the World Fair of Chicago. And yeah.
What's the book called?
So I again, it's called the World's Fairs, the World's Columbian Exposition.
Wow.
Yeah.
When I saw you post it, I was like, trust the Lord to find that.
Yeah, the divine always brings me to where I need to bring the truth.
Yeah.
And then so excited about that rolling out. And then otherwise, if I could finish it off with reading out a paragraph from The Lost Cities of Tartaria, which is part of one of that book series there, which is all the Tartaria information that we find and Antarctica information that we find. So let's see. So this is the first paragraph to the introduction of the book. I am thankful that you are here because you are the ones on Earth who have chosen to see with eyes unveiled by removing the indoctrination you were born into through societal programming. You are the ones who have chosen to see a civilization
That had been long forgotten by the mud floods that covered them and swept them away, to see a world that was erased and made into fairy tales and make believe. You are here because your search for the truth, which might have begun as a hunch, has now been converted into solid truth of the existence of the great Tartarian Empire. On your search, you have learned that once you see Tartaria, you cannot unsee it. Whether you are new to Tartaria or a veteran researcher of Earth's history, get ready to be astonished through this book series. It will finally all make sense. And then the last one here is, you are here because you are the collective who is standing up to the beginning of their tried reset. And through floodings and weather modification upon our current era, we say tried, because this time the elites will not prevail as they have done so through our ancestors. We have to unite together into the largest awareness as a collective to loudly and clearly say we do not consent, which is the purest and truest intention of this delivery of this book series. All right. Thank you.
Just a quick one before we finish off is obviously we are going to, this is going to be like not a quick one now, but obviously we're going through the ascension now. Like, we've got good things to look forward to. We've been past the devolution. At least now we're like on the way up, which is so good to know. How do you see it like happening? Do you think there'll be like an event, or do you think it's just going to be gradually shift after shift, and we're just like keep saying I don't consent, and then we'll get there eventually?
We have to unpetrify one, say, giant mountain cell DNA structure at a time, one at a time, because to drop to the third dimension, we became so dense. We have to be dense to be in a vibratory match to the third dimension. Otherwise, we wouldn't be here. We'd be in Sunday Master. We'd be out, right? But here in our brain, we're constantly divinely organic. We're able to connect to all this multitude through our brain, the different brain nodules, the glands, the thalamus, the pineal gland, the pituitary gland. So here we connect to all the beyond. So the way that you are able to ascend out is that you start, instead of connecting to the artificial, the AI, the false matrix, you start connecting to the crystalline blueprint. So this is how, and by the way you do that is you entity removal. You heal the bloodshed, the dark, whatever is attached to the land that you are either living on or traveling within. And then you bring the crystalline blueprint back. And the more you bring that back, you unpetrify this crystalline energy. You are the bridge to bring in this crystalline energy, the closer we get to ascension. And the more that your body oscillates and vibrates to the crystalline blueprint, the 5D, versus the AI artificial, which we don't consent to anyways, right? The matrix, which is heavy in the 3D. So yes, you have this physical body, but know that you can be vibrating your vessel to a fifth dimensional crystalline construct blueprint.
And
one,
then
two, three, four.
Yay! And then we'll get to ride dragons.
I ended that at 1, 2, 3, 4. Nice. What comes next, you all? Five. Whoa, that's epic. Fifth dimensional.
That is so perfect. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, but is there going to be an event? To answer that question, it's individual and a collective ascension.
Yeah,
both. You know, some people will have an individual, say, an individual event or individual kind of ascension, and then some people will eventually go. But even then, it's also a collective, and that goes into book two, Galactic History of the Multiverse, because it will also go. We will also go at one time, but then not. It's really convoluted. Basically, the majority will go, and then we'll see how everything else plays out as far as like what worlds would not be able to go. But most all the worlds are going. We're all going to oscillate from the third dimension into a, not the 5D, well, into the sixth dimension. Because remember, we were in the 5D. We were supposed to ascend into the 6D, but we didn't go into the 6D because the fall of Atlantis happened. So the promised land has always been the sixth dimension, the 6D. Reason again why they really kind of try to really target the number six, because it's the 6D we're supposed to go into. So we are going to get there. It's going to be both collectively and individually.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Love you all. Thank you.
Love you guys.
Love
you, Aurora. Yeah, love you too, Aurora. And we'll catch up again. See
bye.
You guys. Love you all.
See
bye.
You next time. Loves.